and welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 63 for Saturday, July 31st?
30th, I think, isn't it?
30th.
Yeah. July 30th. My bad, guys. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and welcome to this episode of Newscast, where we will talk about, likely, Zelda, and more Zelda. But before that, let me introduce who's with me today, and that is Zachary Miller. That's a fart noise. We actually have that in the notes. Zach's cue to do that.
I removed it from the notes before Zach did that, so Zach is breaking script.
May I also mention that I'm not wearing pants and I'm eating a block of cheese.
What kind of cheese?
Smoked Gouda.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
It's a very Zach kind of cheese.
Living the dream.
And that other voice you're hearing is Andy Gergen.
Not if Zach keeps eating cheese pantless, I'm out of here.
And lastly, we have Scott Thompson.
No, it's on a plate. I'm not a monster.
How much cheese have you eaten so far, and how much is left?
It's like it's not a real block of cheese. It's like a big cylinder of cheese, and there's only a quarter left.
Okay. So you've been eating a lot of cheese.
I have.
And you cut it earlier, too.
Zach, I have a very important question for you.
Go forth.
Cheddar, mild or sharp?
Sharp, baby.
Extra sharp. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of sharp cheese as well.
Cut the cheese with itself.
All right. Well, let's get right down to brass tacks and kick off with a piece of listener mail. This is from Kai Tim from Louisville, Kentucky. Or Timothy. I guess Kai Tim and Timothy, it makes sense. Dear Newscast crew, back at E3, the Wii U was revealed and the screened tablet controller for the system was unveiled to the world.
I don't remember
that. In demonstration videos, it showed gamers playing with the Wii Remote, Nunchuck, and Classic Controller. As a gamer myself, I sense conspiracy. A conspiracy that Nintendo intends to have a new motion controller available for the Wii U. There are some pros and cons to this theory. First, Nintendo has made bank off of their controllers and accessories, so the incentive to make more money off more advanced versions of what they already have right now. However, a new motion controller might poison the water for the U-mote, so Nintendo might be less inclined to manufacture a new controller. What I am trying to get at is whether Nintendo will advance the Wii Remote Plus to something of the tune of Sony's Move controller. Will they develop a wireless Classic Controller Pro for the Wii U? It would seem that turning the CC Pro into Nintendo's version of the 360 and DualShock 3 would go a long way in attracting any hardcore gamers who scoff at the U tablet. I think his conspiracy theories are wrong. I don't think we're going to see anything more than the Wii Remote Nunchuck, the Wii U Mote, or whatever you want to call it. That's the big new thing with the Wii U.
I can certainly see them, like, putting a different paint scheme on the Wii Remote and the Classic Controller and all that
maybe,
crap
maybe
and sewing it again.
A different. Well, and actually, the wireless Classic Controller, like, I could see that happening.
That'd
eventually.
Be nice.
Eventually, they'll be rebranded as the Wii U Remote because eventually they'll stop selling the Wii. But yes, it'll be the same tech, I'm sure.
Well, I think in all honesty, you could still call it the Wii Remote and not really suffer any big loss. But you know, eventually after the system comes out, you'll be seeing like compatible with Wii U, like how there were GameCube games that would just have a big old playable on Wii.
Exactly. Yeah. They've made it pretty clear that we're going to be using our existing Wii controllers, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, the demos
at E3,
that seemed to
be a big part of the show.
Yeah, that it uses everything. And I don't really think I don't think there's that much to gain from segmenting the market even more. I mean, you can look at the sales of Wii Motion Plus games. Like, I mean, look at stuff like Red Steel 2 and other things that exclusively use it. You know, that adoption rate was never really too high. And why would you ever think that, you know, offering another kind of controller would get people to buy more? It's almost like you want people to be like, hey, look, get this new system and some of your old shit still works.
Like, I think they're going to run into a problem with segmenting the market with too many different types of games that support similar control schemes. But I mean, like, so, I mean, the Classic Controller's got more or less the same button layout as the Wii U pad. So like some games will support the Classic Controller, but some games will require the Wii U pad because of the second screen. Like, I don't, it seems like they're going to run into a little bit of problem with overlapping feature sets on some of this stuff, but I think they'll support what makes the most sense financially, and so will the third parties.
I think what you're going to see is a lot of stuff where, you know, the games support the Wii U controller, classic controller, and Wii Remote Nunchuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really think there's any big difference outside of the giant effing touchscreen, which some games will use that a lot, I'm sure, but I'm also sure that a lot of games, especially early ones, will have modes that might be slightly different or compensating for the loss of the 6.2-inch touchscreen.
Let me tell you, that touchscreen controller is going to be great for when you have to get Link in and out of the Iron Boots.
Yeah, just, you know, touch the button. It'll be great for that that Ocarina of Time Wii U that we're going to get.
If only we had Kinect so we could just tell Link to change clothes.
Link, Iron Boots.
Link, change your damn shoes.
And Zelda, I mean, I think Zelda will be the big test. If Zelda does well with Wii Motion Plus, then we, you know, that might dictate not anything on Wii, but stuff on Wii U.
Yeah. I was gonna say, so if the one game they've made this generation, which really takes advantage of motion control at the tail end of the system's lifespan, does well, maybe there's a future in this motion control thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's sure. Like, I don't, I mean, that's the thing, is that, like, Zelda is the first game that it's, like, you know, this big deal that uses Wii Motion Plus. I mean, Wii Sports Resort, you could say that was a big deal, and it was. It's sold a lot of units, but at the same time, like, that's a very different market from what Zelda appeals to.
If you were going to write a book about the Wii and we're told you could only have two chapters in that book, the first one will be called Wii Sports and the second one will be called Zelda Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the two games that tell the story of the Wii. One of them talks about, one's the tech demo and one's the realization of the tech demo.
Yeah.
But anyway.
One's the constant teasing. Oh, Zelda, you want Zelda? Oh, no, not yet.
How delayed is Skyward Sword at this point?
Very.
Is it? I don't remember when it was supposed to come out.
I guess a year is how long it's been delayed.
Okay.
Because I don't think there was really anything earlier. I think there was a lot of wishful thinking before then, but...
I don't recall them ever giving a date before sometime in 2011.
Because it was first revealed E3 2009... And then E3 2000,
not even really revealed to the public.
We got one piece of art, right?
Yeah, no, I would say if it's been delayed, it's been, I mean, technically a year, but even that, like, last fall,
they never made any promises, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think they said 2010, but then quickly after that, they were like, no.
Well, Twilight Princess used the Wind Waker engine, didn't it?
I think it did.
Like a heavily modified version of the Wind Waker engine.
And Wind Waker used the Ocarina engine.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
I remember reading that in an interview.
Interesting. Well, that, I guess that means that unless the Skyward Sword engine is built off of the Twilight Princess engine, which seems pretty unlikely given how much fundamental change we're going to see to the control scheme, they're building a new engine, which, of course, is going to definitely add to the development time.
Maybe it's going to be a heavily modified Mario Galaxy engine, since Ocarina of Time used the Mario 64 engine.
They've basically made one engine in the history of the development company.
Since they went to 3D, it's just been using the Mario 64
engine. Mario 64 is a heavily modified F-Zero engine. Anyway.
The 3D is really Mode 7 graphics.
But we will be getting to far more Zelda very soon, but let's do a quick segue to other news. First off, Nintendo Video launched last week, and in this guy's opinion, it's a big pile of shit.
It's terrible. Even the dinosaur video is terrible.
I don't care.
Let's go over the pros. It functions. Videos were downloaded and displayed in 3D on my system. Four of them, no less. The videos do download, even if you're not playing the channel, even if you're not playing the game, even if you have something else loaded entirely, the videos will download in the background.
But that fourth video isn't really a video at all.
No, it really isn't. It's a glorified 3D instruction manual. So there are some good things. So, like, the actual service, the actual, like, channel is not too bad.
In theory.
The problem is they're going to be handpicking content that we don't care about. So, great.
I mean, it's one of those things where it sucks because it's just not meant for us. But if it's not meant for us, then who the fuck is it meant for? Like, there is who else has this system outside of people like us? Like, really?
Our kid brothers that we're showing it to, maybe?
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, I was even thinking like, oh, maybe this is a cool thing that I can show people with the 3DS, which, I mean, having those kind of 3D videos are sometimes a lot more effective than being like, hold on, let me boot up Zelda.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think I'd rather boot up Zelda.
It's just like, they'll just feel sorry for me. Like, really? This is you got this thing? And
this is what you spent $250 on?
Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, check it out, the Captain America trailer, and they're going to have it playing on their iPhone before you can get the 3DS turned on and start it up.
Oh, great, the trailer. Hey, I saw that movie last weekend, so yeah.
By the way, good movie.
Oh, yeah?
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I want to see that.
It's good to know.
It's fun.
Yeah. I actually just since I've been replaying Twilight Princess later, and we're really skipping around here, I rewatched the Twilight Princess teaser trailer because I remember how excited I was, and I was kind of curious how much the final product changed from that initial teaser.
And it really didn't.
Did it?
No, it really didn't. It's pretty much the exact game that we ended up getting. But
which is fine.
We're not talking about Twilight Princess right now, so let's move on to the next news item.
What we are talking about is Shinobi 3DS and Crush 3D, and them being delayed, making this fall a little bit bleaker.
Are there any 3DS games coming out this year?
Pac-Man and Galaga.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
The same cartridge.
Yes.
Shinobi and Crush 3D were both set for early September releases, and now they're not coming out until November for Shinobi and February for Crush 3D. Jeez. And as far as I know, Crush 3D is basically a fucking port of a PSP game, so I don't know why that got delayed 6 months, and Shinobi's the one that's coming out sooner, but I can't complain because, I don't know if I can complain. I'm kind of interested in both games.
No, you're not.
I'm about to say I don't care for Crush 3D, but it seems kind of novel. It might be fun.
No.
I don't know much about Crush 3D.
You would rather play Kirby's Pinball Land on Virtual Console, wouldn't you?
Is that coming out this week? That would be awesome.
Well, no, I'm just saying if you had to choose between the two.
I might pick that.
I mean, I'll
be honest. Like, people complain about how there's not a lot of 3DS games coming out, but the virtual console is generally kind of fun. It's just that you don't know if it's going to be a feast or a famine.
Well, that's
so
part
far,
of the game.
A famine every week.
Not every week. We got Donkey Kong early
on. I'm saying we're only getting one thing on the eShop every week.
Well, I mean,
lately,
sometimes it's a really good one thing.
Okay.
Like, you know, Game & Watch Gallery is a fun game, albeit there's not much to it. But I don't know. I kind of worried about just handhelds in general. I mean, kind of going off on a tangent here. But I feel like with the Vita and the 3DS, it's like Sony and Nintendo are both kind of making them seem like they're bigger deals. And it still seems like publishers generally consider portables as a joke, as an afterthought.
It's because you can buy Plants vs. Zombies for like $1 on the iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the problem. I mean, I guess you could call it part of the solution as well.
So it's a problem for them, not a problem for iPhone owners. They love it.
Very true. But I mean, like you just don't see a lot of support for 3DS and even Vita. I mean, you're hearing a lot about people supporting it, but we'll see how long that lasts after that damn thing comes out.
You're hearing a lot about first-party development on the Vita.
We heard a lot about people supporting the 3DS a year before it came out, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not here to shit on the Vita. I think, in all honesty, especially at the price point, I would be actually very interested in it. But at the same time, like, I don't know, I just feel bad for the Vita and the 3DS because I feel like they'll never get that mainstream support from everyone except for the people who push those systems.
I'm not that upset about the lack of content on 3DS right now because, for one, I'm enjoying my Pac-Man and Galaga. And for two, like, I don't remember there ever being a system that came out with a ton of great games in the first 6 months to a year. Like,
that's true.
I know they're not going to abandon the platform. That's not what they do. Like, even if it, like, completely, like, tanked compared to the DS, they're still going to put some games on it, so I don't feel like my money's been wasted. I'm in it for the long haul. My only real complaint about the 3DS is that I have some issues with the way the hardware was designed.
And it's
a dust magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's a dust magnet.
My one thing is that it's the kind of thing where Nintendo backed out of the way to allow a lot of like third-party companies to come in and push their games, and no one really came there. I mean, I guess Capcom released two games that were kind of good, but mainly just like ports of other things.
You know, speaking of Capcom,
ports, what about Capcom?
Are they just abandoning Mega Man entirely now?
At the moment,
I mean,
first Mega Man Universe goes away, and now Mega Man Legends 3.
I mean, did we ever cover that, actually?
Not on the show, I don't think.
Yeah, Mega Man Legends 3 got canceled. That's a bummer. I can't say I'm surprised. Is it really? I mean, even talking to like people that I know that are involved at Capcom, it seems to be like, you know, there's a lot of these prototype things, and we'll hear Nintendo kind of tease about it too, where a lot of companies just make these prototype things and they stay behind closed doors. It's just that Capcom, in this case, probably because Inafune wanted to see this game get made, they made it a thing at the forefront, and then Inafune left, and then Capcom was like, well, we don't really want to go much farther with this prototype thing. But I mean, I'm sure a lot of companies do this. It's just that it's not public, and that's Capcom's stupid community failings with a lot of things lately.
So, was Mega Man 3 Legends 3 meant to be a retail or download release?
There was
retail.
Going to be the demo.
Demo on downloadable, though, right?
Yeah,
that was the idea.
An eShop launch title, and then that never happened, and then it was going to be a full retail release. All right. So Majora's Mask, I guess Anuma just went nuts recently, talked a lot about Skyward Sword. But before we get to that, he said that Majora's Mask has a possibility of being remade on 3DS. Which
depending on how well Ocarina sells.
It seems like it might be pretty well.
Is it?
I mean, that's what we know so far. It's been positive, but we'll see.
Was it on the MPDs last week?
Yeah.
Last month?
It was only on it for 11 days, and I believe it was like number 5. I think it was the second individual platform title after Infamous 2, which had a like 2-week start on it.
That's out? I didn't know that.
It's been out for a while.
Infamous 2 came out on the first day of E3.
Gotcha. No wonder I didn't hear about it.
I'm not interested in that game.
Anyway, Majora's Mask on 3DS. I would play the shit out of that, I think is the proper way to say it. I love Majora's Mask. It is always competing with Wind Waker as my favorite Zelda title, and I would love to play it again on 3D. I just played it a year ago, so I'm not like chomping at the bit to play it again, but I would really enjoy it. I would have a blast playing it.
I think that would be really cool.
I'm kind of stuck at the first owl statue on Virtual Console.
Yeah, I spent the $10 on it like a year and a half ago. I think it was actually shortly after we started back up Newscast, and Andy talking about how it's like his favorite game ever, and I finally downloaded it and got through one dungeon.
That was right around the time they were doing the Game of the Decade on RFN, and I had to record a little bit for it, so
yep,
I had it on the mind.
Yeah. But what was I going to say? I do find it funny about how there's like all these little fan groups popping up. Well, one, there's the Save Mega Man Legends 3, which is just like, dude, game's canceled, get over it. And
they should start an online petition.
Yeah.
That'll help.
There's this thing for like, or at least with Operation Rainfall, like those games are made. With Mega Man Legends 3, that game don't exist anymore. Like, just get over it, please. I mean, let's hope for like Mega Man 11, but
I'd like to see Mega Man X, 10, but in the Super Nintendo style.
But like X8, I guess.
No, there is an X. Oh, X9. I guess it would be X9. I'd like to see Mega Man X9 made like the Super Nintendo games, kind of like the new Mega Man Virtual Console games.
That would be cool. Yeah, the one thing that I find funny, though, with the Majora's Mask thing is that there's all these groups supporting, like, remake Majora's Mask on 3DS, remake Link to the Past on 3DS, and it's like, I want to see a new Zelda game. Why do we, like, you guys are just proving Nintendo right. Like, they're just saying, okay, all they want is just the same damn thing repackaged over and over again.
Although, you know what would be cool, Neil?
What?
Majora's Mask, but with Wind Waker graphics.
I don't know that that's necessary. Like, that, I guess, not that that wouldn't be cool, but that's a massive project. Like,
I know, but it would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be cool. But it's like, I kind of feel like Majora's Mask would be an easy project for Grezzo because the code is largely done already. They've already got the assets, they've already got the engine ported to 3DS.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take that much energy to put the game on 3DS. They just have to like port over the dungeons and the overworld and the game logic, and they've already got almost everything else done. Like, it Zelda game would be great, but I don't think porting Majora to 3DS would prevent a new Zelda game. It might delay
it. Just hand that shit over to Grezzo and it's done.
Exactly. Just give it to Grezzo. Grezzo's already got the asset. They've already got the engine. Just let him.
The chops.
They've got the chops. Like, yeah, I generally agree that I'd rather see new content than remakes, especially if the remakes are a remake like Ocarina, which is going to require some time and energy to get right. But in the case of Majora, there's no reason you can't just kind of crap that out. There's not a lot of work left to be done on that particular one. Now, a Wind Waker remake on 3DS would take a lot more work. That's a whole new ball of wax, but not Majora. Majora would be easy to do, and it would make them money. I mean, if it has Zelda on it, it'll sell. Maybe not gangbusters, but it'll sell. I'm curious, anyone know how Majora sold compared to Ocarina?
I don't think it sold as well.
Not nearly as well, but it also came out in, what, late 2000?
Yeah.
One of the Twilight games, I think.
Pretty much dead.
I think, you know, it might be a good game to put out in 3DS because maybe it's a lot. I get the impression from, like, the forums and whatnot that it's a Zelda game not a lot of people have played.
I never played it.
There you go.
Until, like 2 years ago. I think I saw my friend play it for a little bit, and that was the extent of it.
A time limit? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, that was exactly my point. And really, the first time I played it, I had severe, like, agita when I was playing the game. Because I was like, I don't have enough time to do anything. And then, like, you can slow it down. And once you kind of, like, at least for me, I just needed to give myself that time to play the game. And then the time limit stopped bothering me because there are so many ways around it becoming an impediment.
The time limit is only really a problem fairly early on because you learn to work within the limits of the system to your advantage after a while. Yeah. Like, for instance, if you're going to go solve a dungeon, you do one 3-day cycle where you sort of scope out the area and get to the dungeon and then save and go back in time, and then you have the full 3 days to solve it. It's not that hard to do, really. It works out pretty well. Time limit is only a problem if you're looking for a problem, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And the time limit allows for something that no other Zelda game has ever been able to match, and that's a real terrifying experience. The last, like, 6 hours or 12 hours of that game when, like, the entire town has fled and, like, only, like, the bartender and, like, a couple of random NPCs are left and everyone else is, like, terrified for their life and the music is all creepy and the moon is, like, an inch away from your face. Like, that part of Majora's Mask is really great. Like, it's a part of the game that no other Zelda game has really ever even tried to do. It's legitimately scary, I think.
I'll have
creepy
to finish it.
And it's not even the end of the game because you can do that pretty much right away. I mean, if you choose to not get the Ocarina and go back in time, you can see that part of the game within the first hour. But there are a lot of different side quests that take you to various points of that last day. Like, there's at least one side quest that's, like, the most involving one, which basically has you hit all these different notes at various points of the day. And the very last one is literally, like, an hour before the moon hits. And it's really effective. I think. But then I'm known to be wrong and frequently, so.
All right, so now let's get into the Skyward Sword information that Anuma talked about recently. First of all, we already kind of knew this, but the story is about the creation of the Master Sword. And along the way in the game, you will be kind of forging it. And they also had this weird thing where it's like you'll be, like, with your shield, you'll start off with a basic shield, and then stuff will happen where, like, you'll collect other items and then use rupees and stuff to kind of fuse more parts to it. It was kind of loosely explained, but I think Bill Trinan was talking about it at Comic-Con or something. But that sounds kind of cool, actually.
Loot.
That's actually something different. And
also,
Zelda,
because you're creating the Master Sword, it must take place before Link to the Past.
Oh, it must take place before.
Put it on the board.
I like how they're just like, all right, this one takes place before everything. Really? Yeah. I thought Ocarina of Time was the first game. Not anymore, it ain't. And Zelda in this game isn't a princess. I think it's been kind of documented before that Link is in this kind of, like, I think it's called Skyloft, where it's like this world in the clouds, and then,
right,
Zelda falls down or something, and you go into this creepy underworld where it probably just looks like regular Earth, but Link's all freaked out by it. But then Zelda is like the object of the affection of this weird guy, this weird effeminate guy called Lord Girahim, who is the villain in the game. And that's the boss battle that was the demo. I believe it was the same demo that was at Comic-Con last week that was at E3, where there's a sword fight with him that's early on in the game. And Ganon's not in this game, and Girahim is supposed to be a contrast to Ganon. And I guess some other information is that the Wii Motion Plus will be used to play a harp.
So,
music, you're back in the game.
More music. I just hope that building the Master Sword doesn't turn into, like, the first three dungeons. You get, like, the hilt and then two part of the blades. And then there's eight more dungeons where now you collect, like, seals or like, power.
That's
or
exactly,
you know, like,
how it'll
that,
happen.
If that's... I know. If that's just the replacement for, like, the first three dungeons that are never part of the actual...
Will be. It will be.
I know.
But I like how Zelda's...
the shield thing is actually way more interesting.
I like how Zelda's just the local hot chick in this game.
Yeah.
Word has it that the forest sage will add her power to yours.
Did you see there's a scene where she shows up at Link's door and she's like got this skin tight shirt on. She says, "I'm all wet. Can I come in?"
I did not see that.
And Link's like,
but I'm not surprised he noticed it.
Link using the hook shot is upside down and he has a mask on. He's dressed up.
Oh god.
It's pouring rain. They make out upside down.
It's raining, yeah. He beats up some
He has to get a job delivering like Deku nuts.
Zelda falls off a lot of buildings.
How about playing it backwards, the trailer backwards?
I do love how Aaron just does that, right? Like with just for the hell of it. Like,
hey,
if
guys,
you want to see this trailer backwards with like Zelda's Lullaby instead of the Skyward Sword theme, then do it.
Yeah. And go for it. I thought it was kind of cool.
I mean,
I'm excited.
You go.
I was just going to say the comments section on the latest trailer on NWR, a lot of people are very kind of wary and think it's going to be sort of a rehash of every Zelda game to this point, which I understand being concerned, but I think a lot of people were like, there's a Goron in the game, it's going to be the same thing, and you know, I think you got to kind of wait and see. I feel like watching the trailer, I got like half a boner.
I mean, I'm
pretty excited.
Yeah.
So I'm
not like half masked, like not quite full yet. You know, I need to see a little more information. Hopefully someone on staff will get to play the game a little more and then report back and be like, dude.
We spent a number of episodes early in the life of the newscast talking about how unexcited we were for Skyward Sword because of how tired we were of the formula. But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm ready for it. I'm excited for it at this point.
I think Ocarina of Time is a son of a bitch for placement, at least Ocarina of Time 3D specifically, because it is the kind of thing where it came out, and I, to that point, like, okay, I replayed Wind Waker a little earlier, but I still had it in my head that, like, oh, Zelda format's tired, they need to change it up. And then I played Ocarina of Time, and remember just how awesome of a game that was, and how it's, like, almost like, if Skyward Sword is going to be more of the same, I don't know if I really care. If it's going to look beautiful, if it's going to have great music, if it's going to be fun, if the puzzles are going to be good, if I'm going to enjoy the combat, if, like, you know, something ridiculous happens to the story and there's some quirky characters, like, I'm in. Like, I don't really care if it changes that much. And that's kind of been my stance since we had those early newscast debates about, you know, people being unexcited about Skyward Sword, is that, like, I don't mind if it's more of the same. Is it a little disappointing when what they showed off during the developer roundtable at E3 is like, oh, look, he has to collect these things. It looks like when you have to collect... Or he has to collect these things without a sword. It's kind of like how you're the wolf and you have to collect the tears in Twilight Princess. Like, is that a little disheartening? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the end
I
of the day,
that, like,
who cares?
The whole idea that Wind Waker and Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess were all the same game in Majora's Mask, for fuck's sake. The idea that there is a Zelda formula that they haven't deviated from in a long time, and I'm as guilty as the next guy for thinking this, but I've, within the last 2 years, not even that long, within the last year and a half, I've replayed Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, and I'm in the process of replaying Twilight Princess. Guys, these games aren't that similar. Like, okay, there are some very clear ties, but, okay, right. not even all the games are dungeon-centric. Majora's not dungeon-centric. And Twilight Princess has a handful of new items and, like, gets rid of several of your items. So, like, I mean, there's no... I forget which one is missing. Twilight Princess, like, right off the bat, like, there's a lot more emphasis on story. There's more NPCs to deal with. And, like, yeah, the story isn't awesome in the game, but it certainly is not that similar to Ocarina. If you replay Ocarina and then play Twilight Princess, they're not that similar. Like, the art style is clearly a little inspired by Ocarina of Time, but, like, I'm replaying both of them right now, and they're not the same game.
I will say the Twilight Princess does thrust you immediately into an incredibly boring scenario.
Oh, I agree. I guess now let's move on to the next part of the show, which is basically just where we all discuss Twilight Princess and probably go to blows about it.
I was trying to seamlessly segue that,
but you kind of like explicitly stated it.
How many of you guys beat the new Ocarina of Time? The 3D one.
I did.
Not yet. I'm in the water temple.
Dude, yeah. Ganon looks so cool now.
I agree.
Oh, man.
The ending to that game kind of blew my mind. I mean, even though I played it 13 years ago, but that shit blew my mind. I was kind of hoping I'd have an excuse to play the Master Quest, but then because of Andy, I started replaying Twilight Princess instead. And I might start the Master Quest. I think that the opening to Twilight Princess is the worst opening in a Zelda game ever, and likely will never be topped unless Skyward Sword decides to, like, you have to play Harvest Moon for 5 hours before the game actually starts. That's the only way it could be worse.
I don't think it's that bad. Like, I think, okay, you spend maybe an hour, like, learning how to ride your horse, and, like, okay, the fact that you have to wrangle the goats twice, that's annoying. Like, once was enough. But, like, aside from that second goat wrangling nonsense, like, that's the only complaint that I have. Like, okay, you have to, like, find a fish for a cat, and you have to, like, get a cradle back for a townskeeper, but, like,
and you'll never go back to that village.
These are all basic gameplay. It's a tutorial. Every Zelda game has a tutorial.
Yeah, but there's never...
I find the entire Deku Tree section of Ocarina far less interesting than just exploring the town in Twilight Princess, because there's so much to see.
See, my thing with that is that when I replayed Ocarina, and albeit I'm a lot more familiar with Ocarina than I am Twilight Princess, just kind of, you know, when I played it, and it stuck with me a lot more than Twilight Princess did. But when I replayed Ocarina of Time 3D, I basically just blew through that opening thing. Like, I think I was out of Kokiri Forest in about an hour and a half tops when I played through that game. Just because, you know, the Deku Tree...
It was all muscle memory for me.
Well, I mean, not even muscle memory. The Deku Tree just isn't a long dungeon. And what you have to do to get there, once you know what you have to do, you go pick up the fucking sword and you go, you know, camping for rupees for like a minute or two. And then you go do that and you move on. With Twilight Princess, they put you through all these arbitrary tasks that get very, very repetitious and go on for far too long. It's bogged down by a lot of bullshit story with characters that I never cared about. And maybe that's, you know, once again, the difference between me playing Ocarina when I was 10 versus me playing Twilight Princess when I was 18. Like, I don't know, probably. But it just goes far too long. And I know there have been interviews with, I think Miyamoto was the person who pushed for 3 days in Ordon Village instead of what was originally there, which was 1 day. So when it comes down to it, the reason why I despise the Twilight Princess's opening is very apparent by what Nintendo consciously tried to do, which is they wanted to do something that the designers originally had to 1 day, which I think would have been fine and probably more like how every other Zelda game just kind of has you hit the ground running. Instead, there's 3 days in the village and it goes very, very slow. And the first time you play that game, it's okay because, you know, especially when it came out on Wii, you're learning a lot of this motion control stuff for the first time. And I imagine that Skyward Sword will have something similar because Motion Plus is really going to, you know, change the way you play Zelda.
Well, but, okay, I'm curious where you're talking about the opening. Where does that end for you? Does it end after you on your way to the forest when you have to go rescue the kid with the whole monkey nonsense? Does it end after the first dungeon? Does it end after you become a wolf? Does it end the second you hit Hyrule Field for the first time? Like, does it end after the second goat wrangling nonsense? Like, where is that opening start and end for you?
Well, I mean, obviously the opening starts when you...
Well, okay, that was a poorly phrased question, but you know what I mean.
But where it ends for me, I guess, could be a little more loosely described, and it's not something that I'm really married to any kind of hard description of it. Like, for me, the opening for example, Ocarina, that's, you know, to the moment you get out to Hyrule Field, that what was before that, that's like the prologue, so to speak.
Right.
And I feel the same way with this, except for, you know, I could see it being down to, like, when you get to the temple, or after the temple, or when you get out of the Twilight World.
How about the seventh or eighth time you go through that swamp?
Yeah.
You go through the swamp twice. You go through it once to free the stupid monkey, and then you go one more time to get to the temple, and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll go back later in the game, don't worry.
Well, that's Zelda. That's Nintendo games for you. That's Metroid, that's Zelda, that's Mario.
I'm okay with that. But I guess where it really slowed down to a halt for me with Twilight Princess is just, you know, those 3 days in the village that you spend, and then when you turn into the wolf, I feel like that whole segment is just really protracted. You know, you have to go through, I mean, I don't know. It's so leveraged on, like, holy shit, look what's going on. Look at the story. The story's crazy. Isn't, like, no shit, the princess in the tower is fucking Zelda. Like, come on. Like, is that supposed to be a surprise? Like, I'll admit, when I first played this game, I'm like shit in my pants, being like, oh my god, it's this weird guy that's coming to take on Hyrule Castle. Like, I think Lauren almost slapped me because I kept on being like, whenever there was a cutscene of Twilight Princess, I was like, shit's going down. And she's like, would you stop it? And then I realized later that really every cutscene in that game is just Nintendo trolling us because none of it really makes sense. Like, the one where there's just like 8 dark links for some reason, like, I don't get it.
Well, and I was going to say, I feel like that's a big part of why that opening is as long and drawn out as it is. As I think, for better or worse, they were really trying to make this game cinematic. And that opening, I think, was supposed to make you care about the town and care about the kids who get kidnapped and just care about these people. And it obviously didn't work. But like you said, the first time through, I think you enjoy it. You know, you're talking to all the villagers, you're reading all the text. But it's just a very hard game to just jump in and play a second time because, yeah, you don't care. You want to get to the
puzzle. Well, another part of it is, you know, in Twilight Princess, they're at the point at Twilight Princess where really Link's got to interact. He can't just stand there anymore. And that was a big problem for me with the game. You know, you want him to be sad that the people are kidnapped or that his village is in trouble, but he's an emotionless robot. You know, it just stands.
There are a few cutscenes where he like gives a nice little like knowing smile to what one of the people say. Like, he doesn't have no reply; he just has little reply.
He has fewer emotional responses than Tobey Maguire.
Well, now that I've listened to you guys shit on the game for like 10 minutes now, I want to say that I have been replaying the game for about 10 hours, I think I'm about in the game now. I just got to the part of the game where you learn what Ilya has been up to ever since the opening section, when the castle town is still under Twilight. Actually, I just got to the point where you have to jump off the bridge. I just haven't done it yet because I had to go. I love it. Like, and I remember loving it the first time too. When I played this game for the first time, I remember thinking this is my favorite Zelda game to date. Like, I just absolutely loved it. Like, I played through more of that game. I tried to 100% that game more than I've tried on any other Zelda game, and I'm still loving it. I know that there's a lot of complaints about the art design being generic or bland, but I think it's lush. I think it's detailed. I mean, yeah, there are some bad textures, but that's the Wii for you. I like Hyrule Field. I know people think it looks empty, but like empty? Ocarina of Time is empty. It is a giant diamond with nothing in it except for a ranch in the middle and a town on every side. Twilight Princess has got sections. It's got bridges. It's got streams. It's got hills. It's got, you know, it's not one big open field. It's
empty, but it does look nice.
I think it looks great, and I don't feel like it's empty. I mean, yeah, Hyrule is still a giant kingdom with like 100 people in it, but the field is not supposed to be filled with people. It's supposed to be filled with monsters, which it is, and it's supposed to be filled with lush terrain. Now, I'm one of the few people who doesn't play Zelda for the dungeons at all. Like, they could remove the dungeons from the game, and I would be perfectly fine with that. I love the overworld. To me, exploring the overworld is what makes Zelda magical, and I think Twilight Princess kind of nailed it. And so did Wind Waker. I think Wind Waker, the sailing in Wind Waker is the same deal. Like, finding all these, like, tiny little islands in the middle of nowhere that they've all got their little secrets, and they look gorgeous because the game just always looked gorgeous. I think Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are my two favorite Zelda games. In fact, I think basically ever since they went Ocarina of Time, when they made the conversion over to the 3D Zelda games, I think I've liked every Zelda game more than the previous. And I don't think many people feel that way.
I mean, I have to say that, I mean, I complained a great deal about the opening part, but after that, I mean, I'm not really much farther past it. My beef with the Forest Temple is just that it's too long for an opening dungeon. I was talking to Andy about this before the show, about how, like, I don't have any problem with the length of the Forest Temple as a Zelda dungeon. I just have a problem with its length as being the opening dungeon, because it is kind of that, you know, that barrier to getting out to Hyrule Field where the game opens up more. And that's the point that I guess, like, that's, you know, where the title would come on the screen if it were a movie, because that's when it opens. Like, before then, that's like the
that's like 6 hours in.
Scene. Yeah. But even still, I mean, I just feel like it takes a long time to get to that point. And
it's a Peter Jackson movie, Neil.
I feel like the one true criticism that you could levy at Twilight Princess, the one that I would actually agree with, is that it's too epic. Everything takes too long to happen. It's too drawn out. It's too big. I had forgotten how goddamn huge this game was until I like loaded it up for the first time in 5 years and found my save file said 63 hours. I was like, are you kidding me? There's no way in hell I played a game for 63 hours in my life. There's no way I did that. But
yeah, like, then I mean, I'll admit, I'm impressed. Like, I didn't know I could still do that. Even 5 years ago, I didn't still do that.
But then I finished the first temple and saw that my new save file was at 5.5 hours. And I was like, well, if you do the math, 9 temples times 5.5 hours. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, I'm sitting at about, I think, like 4.5 hours. And I'm in Kakariko Village collecting Twilight Tears or whatever. And I have to say, once I got out of Ordon Village, game's great. I'm not that much farther than that, but now I'm getting into it more. And I think my complaint with Twilight Princess is just Ordon Village. That's it. Other than that, like, I'm looking forward that now that I got over that hump, playing the rest of the game. Because
and people talk about, you know, the art direction being bland, but I think the Twilight sections look great. The way like the light air, the way the light affects sort of everything, it has like a real haze to it. But it almost kind of is cel shaded. Like, I think Midna is cel shaded.
I agree, Andy, but the Twilight sections do go away.
This is true.
Which I thought the whole wolf slash Twilight thing, you know, it was a huge missed opportunity. And every Zelda game has been about the duality, except this one. They just throw it away a third through the game. They're like, we don't need the Twilight shit anymore. It was so cool.
It's been a long time since I got past the first third of the game, so I'll have to revisit that comment later. Yeah. I seem to recall going back and forth between the wolf and the person a lot later in the game. Maybe that was just a warp. Don't you have to warp as a wolf?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm thinking that.
Eventually, the wolf functionality just kind of loses.
Yeah, because isn't it like after the third dungeon, you get the ability to just swap between human and wolf?
Something like that.
I was going to say, that's what happens. You don't have to be in the Twilight world anymore. You could just do it. I will say, though, how you mentioned, Andy, about how this game focuses less on dungeons. And I think that's true, because even though I haven't played it since it launched, I'm remembering sort of these like key moments in the game that I felt were so epic and had nothing to do with dungeons. Like, I'm remembering the epic like battle where you're fighting ogres or orcs or whatever they are. And like, and it's like starts like pouring rain, doesn't it? And you're like fighting on the bridge and stuff. And That's such a cool moment, unlike anything in any Zelda game. And then I think two of the you're going into that like ghost town, and then it turns almost into like a Western like shooter kind of like you're going in and using the Wiimote and like shooting all the orcs or whatever they are. And
Moblins.
Yeah, that's another like called. Just really fun goblin. That's right. Yeah, like really fun, like unique moment to the Zelda series, and there's I feel like there's probably more that those.
I just wish like there was more horseback fighting.
Yeah,
I feel like that.
But the dungeons in the game,
two or three instances, and albeit one of them is with the final boss, but
the dungeons in the game are great. I mean, they are massive. They're not too complicated, but like they're clearly a step up from the dungeons in Ocarina, and they've been getting that way. I mean, having played them all recently, I can tell you that the dungeons in Ocarina, Water Temple included, are nothing compared to what happens in Majora or Wind Waker or Twilight Princess. They just keep getting bigger.
going to Wind Waker for a little bit as far as dungeons go, the one big fault with Wind Waker, with the especially the two later dungeons that are in the back half of the game, is that the Wind Waker itself slows it down.
Oh, yeah, it really does.
You need to, if you could just like instantly switch between characters, which if you play Twilight Princess and they have the Dominion Rod, they basically have a solution for how to do that. Yeah. But you have to keep on playing that song, which, I mean, it's not like it's like hard to remember or anything. But
you
keep
on
having
to
do that to switch between
them. Yes, that's right.
And that just slows down the pace of those dungeons so much. And those are great dungeons with really unique puzzles because they take advantage of, you know, you have to control two players. And you also see, I mean, stuff like that come back in later games, like how I said with the Dominion Rod with Twilight Princess and even Zelda's use in Spirit Tracks, which I think I might be the only person, Scott, I don't know if you've ever played Spirit Tracks. I know the other two guys haven't, but...
No, I played a lot of Phantom Hourglass and just never...
But the way that they... I mean, just to sum it up, and sorry for spoiling it, that game's like 2 years old now. I don't feel that bad.
That's fine.
In that game, like, Zelda becomes a ghost, and there are sections of the game where it's kind of like that tower with more levels. Like, they had the Temple of the Ocean King, which is pretty awful in Phantom Hourglass, I felt. But
God, it was
the way
terrible.
It's done in Spirit Tracks is a lot better. Because what you have is that you have these devious puzzles, and you control Link, and you also control Zelda, who's possessing the Armos statues or whatever. And the puzzles that they throw at you there are really, really great, and they remind me of, you know, the dual mechanic in earlier games, which, I mean, I just love seeing, especially playing a lot of different Zelda games, ranging from Link's Awakening to Wind Waker to Ocarina to Twilight Princess, everything comes back. And everything's improved upon as you get later. Like, just look at the combat from Ocarina to Wind Waker to Twilight Princess. There are leaps and bounds between each game. And the combat in Twilight Princess is way better than in Ocarina, where it's just a joke. Like, I honestly can't wait to see how the combat's going to be in Skyward Sword because of how improved the combat has been over the other 3D games.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the Motion Plus, like, I'm interested. I mean, they keep showing off a lot of different things with how you attack the enemies matters, you know, because they have different block patterns or you have to attack them in certain directions. And I think that's going to be cool and be more involving. And I agree, right now I'm playing Link's Awakening and then the Ocarina of Time remake. And, yeah, it just has me super pumped for Skyward Sword. Like you guys were, I guess, maybe a few years ago when the show started, like, I wasn't overly excited. But playing these games now, like, even if it follows the same formula, it just has me ready for a new experience within this framework. I'm really enjoying both games, and I just can't wait.
I mean, at E3 2010, like, I couldn't wait to play the Skyward Sword demo, and that was a great demo, I felt. And this year, I played it. But I just got to the point where I was like, I just want to play this fucking game already. I don't want to play anything.
Like, when you see a preview enough, you're just like, all right, already, just come out.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry, when is it coming out? Do you know for sure?
I think it's pretty much like it ain't getting delayed anymore. I'm not positive, but I feel like that we heard something where they're like, yeah, game's done. It's pretty much like just going finishing touches.
Yeah, I think it's being localized now.
Well, I heard that too a few weeks ago.
But I would assume probably it'll be in the Black Friday spot, like that Sunday before Thanksgiving.
I feel like that's when they normally launch the big releases lately, is in November.
I mean, yeah, it's either that or Super Mario 3D will be in that spot, and
that'd be nice.
I don't know.
That'll be something
I
can play.
I don't think they will be on the same day.
3DS.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be on the same day, but I would be, I mean, before Black Friday, I would be shocked if we don't have Zelda and Mario 3D, unless Mario 3D gets pushed back to 2012, which I think is a possibility. That would be a real bummer.
I can see that too.
Yep.
Is that enough Zelda?
We'll probably be talking about way more Zelda.
Well, I think they have enough. If they string the shows together, they can make one 8-hour podcast about Zelda.
Yeah. But just, guys, remember, it's the 25th anniversary. We probably won't be shutting up about Zelda from now until the end of the year, because Skyward Sword will be coming out.
Well, and Twilight Princess is apparently a 65-hour game, so you have plenty of time in the next month or two that I'll still be talking about it.
In the show notes, it says Wind Waker, best fucking game ever. It's that one. Wind Waker is the best fucking game ever.
Yeah, yeah. Just a little behind the scenes baseball. We have Twilight Princess or Toilet Princess? Question mark. Ocarina of Time or Shit of Time, Link's Awakening or Link's Awakening, Wind Waker or Best Fucking Game Ever. The first one was Andy. The other three were my additions.
Thanks. No, like, I guess the reason that the whole Toilet Princess thing came up is because I have been under the, like, mistaken, maybe mistaken, opinion that whenever Twilight Princess comes up in, like, a talkback thread or amongst, like, the people on RFN, I think this even came up on RFN fairly recently.
It was the live panel where I think Johnny, who gave Twilight Princess a 10.
Right, like, the
love
game.
Love you, Johnny,
the
but
game,
that was very funny when you made the comment at the live panel. Because I know you're listening to this, where you said, I liked Twilight Princess when it was called Ocarina of Time.
and then Greg was like, you gave it a 10. but yeah, like the game got 9.5s and 10s and generally was very well received when it came out. And I also very much liked it when it came out. But now you can't talk about Twilight Princess on the internet without someone being like, psh, whatever, game sucked. It was boring. It was bland. It was brown. It was Ocarina. It was better when it was called Ocarina of Time. Like, I hear that a lot, but like, this game got really good reviews, and I think it's still really fantastic. So I was planning on combing the NWR forums and finding about 5 or 10 choice anti-Twilight Princess quotes to read on the air and sort of, like, make fun of, I guess. But I couldn't find them. I searched Twilight Princess. I searched Zelda TP. And the only reference I found was someone referring to it as Toilet Princess, which I kind of laughed at. Like, I found one quote that was something to the effect of the overworld was too empty, but, like, I didn't find nearly as many people, like, bagging on the game as I expected to. Yeah, there were some complaints about the art direction and a few complaints about, like, the overall structure of the game, but most people were surprisingly very civil. So I guess
on the internet?
I guess I have to eat some crow a little bit, because I keep thinking back on this game as being one that gets universally shit on in retrospect, but I don't know that it does. So that's cool.
It's just me. It's me.
I think maybe it's just you and Neil have been beating it into my head for so long that the game is awful.
Well, I mean, I still think that the opening sucks. I think it's a great game. Just the opening
is
sucks.
Fine. I think you suck.
Well, good comeback, Andy.
I think my only problem with it at the time was just having played the 360 and the PS3 a bit. It kind of became quickly apparent how far behind the Wii was going to be from those systems in terms of even just every time you enter a town or leave a town, it's got to load. Even that epic bridge fight I was talking about, I remember playing it with a friend watching, and you start in the town and you chase them off, and then it's got to load like between leaving the town and then going out to the overworld for the actual fight. And like, I remember him just being like, you know, it's too bad it's not just
not be nice.
Seamless. And yeah, that
I still
was
think that
the
waggle
the
sucks. Like, I will not defend that. The shake, the mapping a button press to a remote shake is the worst thing Nintendo's ever designed. It sucks in Mario Galaxy. It sucks in Twilight Princess. It sucks in Donkey Kong Country Returns. It's awful. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Please, for fuck's sake,
so
knock it off.
To shake the whole Wii U controller.
Oh, god damn. It's horrible. Like, it's the only thing that makes Twilight Princess not that much fun. And on top of that, this is the game where you have to hit the button an extra time to draw your sword before
That's
you can
right.
attack. Meaning that you have to shake the remote like a fucking madman for like a second and a half to attack. And it's irritating. Stop it. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. No more. No more. Okay, I'm done ranting about it now. That's my only complaint about Twilight Princess. I think other than that, the game works really well. The bow and arrow is awesome. The rest of the game plays just like it does on any other controller. So lack of camera controls kind of sucks too. I know people were saying I should play it on GameCube since I'd already played it on Wii, but unless they're going to give me their GameCube copy, no thanks. I already have a copy on the Wii, and it supports widescreen, and that's good enough for me. But anyway, let's move on to other things. Other glorious things that are not called Zelda.
There's other things other than things.
There'll be more of that next week, I'm sure.
I'm sure there will be. So I've been playing something. In the mail yesterday, I got this Galaga Pac-Man nonsense for 3DS. My excitement for which was at a pretty low level because it's Galaga and Pac-Man. It's not exactly the bastion of excitement.
It's not Zelda.
Here's what it is. It's one cartridge, $40. contains Pac-Man and Galaga, the same arcade games you've been playing since you were negative 15 years old. It contains Pac-Man Championship Edition, which came out on Xbox Live in like 2007, I think. This is not the DX version, does not have the DX version. And it contains Galaga Legions, which came out on Xbox Live, I think, in 2008. I think there's also been a sequel to that, but that's not on here either. And then it's got two original, brand new Pac-Man and Galaga games. One of which, the Pac-Man game, is sort of like a 2D platformer where you have to eat the pellets as you walk and get fruit for extra points, and you tilt the DS to make the floating platforms like rotate to and from a little easier. The whole game is built around tilting the world so that your character moves differently and there's different momentum to the way he jumps. I'm not finding it super intuitive, and it's got a little bit of a Sonic the Hedgehog element to it because Pac-Man occasionally like loses his legs and rolls up into a ball and like goes through sort of a Sonic-esque tunnel where he goes into a little S and then slides out and breaks some bricks at the very end of it. It's kind of cool. I haven't played that much of it yet because it's not really hooking me in at all. I find it a little hard to control, as most tilt games kind of are, I guess. But it's okay. It looks kind of neat. And then the original Galaga game is sort of like first-person Galaga on rails cockpit mode. And it's all in 3D, and it has gyro controls for aiming, which is cool, except for it's in 3D. So it's kind of not cool. They actually tell you that if you tilt the DS side to side instead of like turning it full on, it'll not break the 3D as much. Like, they tell you that when you go into the game, but it still breaks the 3D. It's best played with the 3D off, which is unfortunate because it's a game where you're flying through space in high speed, and the 3D actually works really well if you're not using the gyro controls. You can also use the circle pad to aim, but the gyro controls clearly work a lot better. Once again, I haven't played too much of that because it's not really drawing me in. It's got a bit of a wow factor to it because the game moves very quickly and it looks pretty good. But it's kind of hard to play, and it seemed like once you kind of played it for a minute, you'd kind of seen everything the game had to offer, but it kept going and going and going. This game has online leaderboards, which is essential for Pac-Man and Galaga. Because honestly, like, you've been playing Pac-Man and Galaga for your entire life. You don't need another version of it unless you can compete with someone on scores, which is what makes these games fun. There's a reason this game is there's a reason Pac-Man was successful first on the arcades and then probably not really ever again until Pac-Man Championship Edition. And that's because it's all about being competitive on scores. And this game has that. It's not like perfect seamless, but it works pretty well. Basically, like, when you're at your game select screen at the main menu, you have a one of your options aside from the games you can go into is just the scoreboard, and you go in there and you upload your scores and view rankings, and you can view how you stack up to the whole world. You can view the top of the charts, you can view your friends list, and you don't have to do anything to register your friends in the game. It just pulls directly from your system friends list and shows you what they've all been doing, which is great. It's the way the way online leaderboards should work. It would still be nice if it showed you that in the game so that you didn't have to quit out and go to a different menu option, but still, it's nice. It's going to keep me playing this game because Neil's picked it up as well, although he hasn't played it yet. And if Neil plays it
right now, you can shut your mouth.
So, yeah, I mean, Neil and I will be able to go back and forth and compare friends list scores. And that's great. That's the draw for this kind of game. So I've always been a big fan of Pac-Man. I think Pac-Man's a fun game. It's a lot hard. The base Pac-Man game is a lot harder than you probably remember. Chances are, if you played it in the arcade, it had some sort of a speed hack on it. A lot of them did. Or maybe the difficulty was turned down. But, like, on the difficulty on this DS game, like, I'm having a hard time cracking, like, the fifth stage, and that's kind of rare for Pac-Man because everyone's played Pac-Man for a long time. We're all very practiced at it, so. But I'm enjoying it. It's a good game. Is it worth $40? I don't know. Like, each of these games individually would be probably a good $5 or $10 downloadable game. Like, I would pay $10 for Pac-Man Championship Edition on a 3DS with online leaderboards. But I'm not sure, like, Pac-Man itself is worth more than $5 at that. I don't know. It's fun though. I'm having fun with it.
Sounds like it.
So go Pac-Man, go Galaga, go Team Namco Bandai. I guess the other cool thing, blah blah blah. I'm having trouble talking. The other cool thing about the remakes is that when you load up the arcade versions of Pac-Man and Galaga, you get to choose your border. Like, you can either play the arcade cabinet, and then it'll sit inside. Like, if you have the 3D effect turned on, it'll sit inside the cabinet screen and kind of, like, warp the screen so that you're kind of looking at it as if you're standing up, looking at a screen that's, like, slightly angled down. Or you can choose the table mode, cocktail table mode, and then it'll kind of display with the screen kind of, like, flat. Or you can play just no border at all, and then it'll, like, actually the sprites in the game will pop out, which is kind of neat, too.
Yeah, like,
you know, they didn't have to put a lot of effort into this game, but it's clear that they spent a little bit of time to make sure that if you're going to pay $40 for Pac-Man and Galaga, you're at least going to, like, feel like they put time into making sure that it plays and looks good. So that's kind of nice.
That's nice.
Hey, Neil, you've been playing things that are not Pac-Man and Galaga. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I'll just go over my stuff pretty quickly. I got Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light pretty cheap at, like, it was end aisle at Target. And I don't have too much to say about it, except for I put a little time into it, and I just don't give a fuck.
Okay.
It kind of sucks. I was kind of excited to play this game, and then it just seemed so generic, and
the gimmick
maybe
with
I'm
this,
just not giving it enough time.
Wasn't the gimmick with that game that it was supposed to be very old school?
Yeah, and I'm just not digging the art style, and it just didn't pull me in. And I've been in an RPG mood lately, but nope. Like, I tried it, and I was just like, I'd rather be playing Chrono Trigger, and I guess that's... Sure. Me being an old asshole, but and part of the reason I'm not as far in Twilight Princess is because the NFL is back, so I celebrated by busting out my copy of Madden 11 on Wii, and man, I love that game. It's got a lot of faults. Like, there's, I mean, just straight up glitches, but I don't really care. It's a lot of fun, and it's the kind of game that kind of, you know, there might be something where they're like, oh, you just got a touchdown, and you really just got, like, a play for 20 yards or something. But I don't really care. It's a really fun game.
The glitches are that bad where the sound is that they play.
Yeah, and they've, like, said,
wrong.
Like, you know, like, you know, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, and they're like, Tony Romo's a great player. And I'm just like, he's not even on the field. But it's like, that's the thing. It's like, it's nothing that really affects the gameplay that much. It's just like those little, like, small snafus.
There's
that kind of make me laugh.
There's that a little bit on versions of NCAA on Xbox too. Like, sometimes in the fourth quarter, it'll give the sound bite for fourth down on every down. Like, it'll be like second and eight, and it'll be like, here it is, all or nothing, fourth down. It's like, what?
But I would say, like, and I mean, I actually got into a big argument with someone in the forums. I believe it was Ninsage was who I was going back and forth with. Just because people talking about third parties not giving a crap on Wii. And I would actually say that EA Sports making these Madden games with these different art style, with a different art style, is actually EA giving a crap about Wii. Because before they did it, it was a PS2 port. And now it's actually an original game. Which is, I think, very good.
That's and something.
I would almost call it like a B-movie football game. Like, it's not going to be as good, and it's not going to be as polished as the game on 360 or PS3, but it's just kind of like a B-movie. Like, you know, they're going to say that Tony Romo is playing when it's Aaron Rodgers, but that's fun. Like, I don't really mind. I'm not that hardcore into it.
Excellent.
That's all I got.
Neil, take it away.
You mean Zach.
Hey?
Neil has already taken it away. Shit.
I
sorry.
Just took it away. I'm
sorry.
It.
Neil, talk about Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light again.
No.
Zach, please talk about something else.
All right. So y'all recall back when I got the Tomb Raider collection. I was annoyed that it didn't include the DLC for the Xbox version of Underworld. So I did what any idiot consumer would do. I went out and bought a Xbox 360 version of Tomb Raider Underworld for $8 and then spent $20 on DLC. And it's two levels, one of which stars Laura and the other one stars her doppelganger. And you kind of play through it alternate part of the storyline, which is cool. But I wanted to comment on Crystal Dynamics and how they kind of have a love-hate relationship with giving Lara Croft breasts.
Right now it's very much hate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. For the reboot, they're very much like, we got to give her smaller breasts. Don't know why, but it's going to happen. They're trying to make her more realistic. And, you know, my response to that is Tomb Raider has never been realistic in any way.
Wasn't the entire reboot central, like, trying to make her, like, trying to make the game more realistic in general? Not just her, but, like, a whole
Yeah, everything game. More realistic. Yeah, but you know, how realistic is it going to be that she's not dead from the shipwreck that looks horrible? I don't even want to talk about the new reboot. It just makes me angry. The old reboot, when they first took over the franchise from Core.
Legends
what started it. They tried to revamp her character model there, too, from what Core had been doing. And they said they were going to, you know, make her more realistically proportioned, which they did not do. But, you know, in Legend, they gave her this very revealing dinner dress or evening dress. But then in Anniversary, they covered her up completely while adding jiggle effects. And then in Underworld, they just cover her up entirely and downplay her breasts, which is fine if that's what they're going to do the whole time. But no, this DLC adds bikinis. You can play with Laura in a bikini now, which, you know, part of it is like, okay, they're catering to the, you know, Laura Croft crowd who, like me, likes just staring at her. But then they're also, you know, they're also going completely against what they've been saying they want to do with her character model for the whole time. So it's really irritating to me just from a character design standpoint. What do you want to do with Lara Croft? You know, you can't keep changing your damn mind. You know, so I assume with this new Tomb Raider reboot, we'll see DLC that puts her in a bikini at some point. It's annoying, but both DLC episodes are actually really, really fun. Okay, if you like Tomb Raider.
Like, one more time, like, that you can't buy the Underworld DLC with Trilogy? Underworld DLC is incompatible with the collection that includes Underworld?
Right.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Because when Underworld first came out, it came out for the PS3 and the 360. And the 360 only got DLC.
Okay.
Which is retarded. But then when they came out with the Trilogy... for PS3, a lot of people thought, well, finally we'll get to play the Xbox 360 DLC. Surely the, you know, whatever arbitrary time limit they set on that is gone now. No.
Oh, so you have the collection on PS3, but you bought the standalone game on 360. I'm with you now.
Yeah. Just for the DLC.
I played through Prince of Persia on 360 a couple of years back, and I really, really enjoyed it, and I meant to play the epilogue DLC, but I didn't feel like playing more of that game at that point. And I told myself, I'll sell it back, and then in a couple years later, I'll pick it up for $10 and spend $20 on the epilogue, but I never did.
The epilogue's good, but it is super hard.
Does it? I mean, the whole like idea behind the epilogue is you get to see the storyline, what happens immediately after the end of that game, which is... a really cool spoiler that I won't ruin, even if you haven't, you know, even if you're never going to play the game.
And you really don't.
Yeah, you really don't, right? Game. Like I watched the YouTube clip of the epilogue when I kind of realized I was never going to play it. And no, it doesn't. You don't learn anything new. Which is
no. In fact, really? It ends on a bigger cliffhanger,
which will never get resolved.
Which will never be resolved.
Right.
That sucks.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's the best Prince of Persia game by far.
I think you might be right. I like that game. Maybe we'll get it on Wii U, as long as they're releasing games that are at least a year old. Maybe they'll mine the depths of 2008. Okay, Scott, take it away with what you're playing.
Okay, well, I kind of already touched on Link's Awakening, so I don't think I need to go back to that, really. Apart from saying that I'm really enjoying that it's sort of just the Zelda style kind of just boiled down to its essence. You know, I feel like the overworld is smaller. There's less time between dungeons, and it's pretty easy to navigate, you know, because it is so small. I'm not getting lost. I kind of know where I need to go and where to find things, and I'm just enjoying it in that respect. And in fact, when it's like the end of the night after working all day and stuff, and I'm ready to just kind of play something to unwind, I find I go back to that more than Ocarina because it is a little simpler and it's less demanding on me, I suppose. And I can just get right into it and really enjoy it and not have to search around and find things and remember a game I played over 10 years
with
ago.
With Ocarina, so, you kind of have to go to like a destination. You have to go to like a temple or like, it's kind of hard to just sit down and like waste time in Ocarina, but in Link's Awakening, like every screen is packed full of like combat and secrets. Like it's so much denser. It's a lot easier to just waste time wandering around.
I think
that's
one of the big pros about that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying that aspect, and it's just easy to get around to, and everything's just so compact, but it still feels like a real full game, I guess. So I don't know. It toes that line really well. So I'm enjoying that. And then the other game I've been playing, another great old game, is Final Fantasy III. I downloaded that on the Virtual Console last weekend, and it's actually the first time I've really played it. I tried to play it, I don't know, years ago, maybe even back when it was on the Super Nintendo, I don't remember, but never really got past the opening, so this is the first time I've really sunk into it. And I'm kind of finding it's the same for me as Link's Awakening is, at least to the point where I'm at, where I always know where to go. I'm never having to like search and explore a lot, which is great because I don't like to do those things very much in games. And I just know where I'm going. It's very story-driven, and I'm just enjoying all the characters I've come across so far. And it's just very driven, and it's very focused, and I'm enjoying that. I just got to the part where you're like on that raft trying to escape the hideout, and then your party gets all split up, and then you kind of decide who to follow and what to do in what order.
Yeah, I think I've played the first half of that game probably about four times, but only the last half of that game up until just before the final boss the one time. I keep thinking one of these days I'm going to actually finish it. It's the only Final Fantasy game I've even gotten close to finishing. I don't know, like 65 hours for Twilight Princess was a rarity. I'm not sure I could. I'm not sure I have the patience for an RPG anymore. I want to get it, though. Like,
you should get Cthulhu Saves the World.
Oh, well, all right. Screw Final Fantasy III. I'm gonna get what Zach said.
Yeah, move on. Yeah, but it's great, and I love to. I've never really played this one, but I've played Chrono Trigger a million times, and I just love all the kind of shared sprites and sounds and different like things they did because the games came out so close to each other. It's
awesome.
Just kind of funny.
Cool. That's a great game. It's probably going to be one of the last really great Virtual Console releases. So.
Yeah. I'm thinking so, yeah. I'm really loving it. I'm glad I got it.
Excellent. Final Fantasy III is an excellent game. And with that, let's move on to our last topic of the evening, which is just sort of some general thoughts in the eShop. And I know, Neil, you've been playing the Xevious 3D remake, haven't you?
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's a lot cooler than I thought it would be. And that it's kind of in the same way that the Pac-Man Galaga thing is, where it's, you know, this game that's an old as hell arcade game. I think 1982 was when Xevious came out. But the way that they do the 3D effect in this is really neat, because it's almost like, I guess there would be three layers, because there's like the background. But what this game also has is that you're like shooting people on the same plane as you, and then you're also dropping bombs onto the ground below you. So the 3D effect is really pronounced, and actually kind of, well, it doesn't have a direct effect on gameplay. It is like in how you see things a little differently when you're playing with 3D as opposed to not. And I mean, it's a fun shooter. If you like shoot 'em ups, it might be worth getting. Although, I mean, it is a you know, a damn near 30-year-old game. That's fun.
Also expensive.
Yeah, it's $6, which I think is a little higher. I guess some other news is that we're actually getting original 3DS content not made by Nintendo. Let's Golf 3D from Game Loft is coming out on August 11th, although it's coming out in Europe this Thursday. So,
of course.
Thursday. But so there's some kind of delay. But
Let's Golf would be a good game to download.
Yeah, I think it might be fun, and it'll probably be $6.
Yeah.
Which, I mean.
Oh wait, I'm mixing it up with Hot Shots Golf, but it's pretty much.
Oh,
it's,
yeah, yeah, no, this is
it's the same
game.
Thing, though, right? I mean, that's what Game Loft does, is they make the same thing. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Let's Golf is identical to Hot Shots, but maybe minus the quality. We'll see.
Yeah. I know there's other games in the series, but I don't know too much about it.
Golf is a good downloadable title because I rarely want to play a game of golf, but when I do get that craving, I never have the cartridge on me because, you know, why would I? Yeah. I never want to play it. But like every once in a while, I'm like, I could really go for a game of golf right now. I wish I had the game on me.
Yeah. And I'd go more into the eShop, but let's save that for a later episode. Let's go off on how fucking stupid the eShop looks at a later date.
Hey, now, it's not that bad. It's better in the DSi shop.
That's, I believe, Zach, last night when we had a meeting, and I made the comment about how that's like saying, like, a turd is better than diarrhea. Where, yes, that's true, but come on.
I don't have, like, a real big problem with the look and feel of the store. I have a problem with the fact that there's nothing worth buying on the store lately, but...
Yeah.
I feel like it's gotten a little hard to navigate. The first couple of weeks, I thought it was great, but like now there's so many different, I don't know, places to go, and I feel
there's
like
still
it,
like I mean,
like
okay, there's ways to browse now, but it's still presented so poorly. That's just me. But that's almost like a problem. Like, at least they're getting to the problems that other places have, as opposed to just the problems that are unique to the DSi shop, which is just like, hey, look, you can only get two games at a time.
Yeah.
And it takes half an hour to load a screen.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I mean, now we're getting the same problems that, like, Xbox Live Arcade has, where it's kind of hard to just browse.
Yeah.
They'll split it up into, like, six different shops.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. The interface, I think, is still pretty clumsy. It's just a little bit better. And the fact that Nintendo Video is just so dumb doesn't really help.
I love opening that for the first time. I didn't really know what to expect. And then it's like, okay, great. Now just close your system and we'll download the videos and you can watch them later. I'm like, oh,
I think it
okay.
got put up like late Thursday. So actually, I went to go see Captain America at midnight and came back and like downloaded a Nintendo Video kind of excited. And I was lying in bed and it was like, you have to download these titles. I was like, I'll just check it in the morning. And I checked it in the morning. It was like, oh yeah, there's this movie I saw last night. I can watch a trailer for it.
Have you guys tried Netflix yet?
I like
Netflix. It works okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I watched I watched the last episode of Next Generation on it.
Oh, cool.
It's having a problem locking up on a lot of people, apparently. It happened to me.
No, I had that problem twice I used it. The first time I used it, it just pretty much like locked up just right after I authenticated it. And then I think it was backing out of a movie or a TV show or something, and then it locked up. But
I think someone on the comments today suggested that maybe this Phantom system update is to fix that.
That could be true. I'd believe it.
Yeah.
Another shitty thing besides the Nintendo Video is how I have to find people with Pokemon Pokedex 3D to get all my Pokemon.
Well, Zach, that's just your fault because you wasted your time with Pokedex 3D.
Yeah. I love that my very first episode, you're like, this is awful, never even touch it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, you're like, I can't get everything. This is terrible. What am I going to do?
This is very true. I got to collect them all, damn it. I was so close to collecting them all in Heart Gold, Soul Silver. I'm only, like, 4 away.
The blue light, you know, keeps on tantalizing me with that. And I'm just like, shut up, Pokemon. Wake me up when you guys release a game I care about and know, like, Pokemon Rumble Blast or whatever it is doesn't count.
I've never played a Pokemon game more than a few minutes. Like, it's a franchise I've never really gotten into. And, the more Zach talks about his, like, Pokemon collecting addiction, the more I'm kind of glad.
Well, this is the great thing about Pokedex 3D, Andy. You don't have to play shit. It's just an app.
It's Pokemon very...
And each Pokemon takes up an enormous amount of space on your SD card.
Awesome.
Totally worth it.
But Andy, you can always be like me with Pokemon games where I get through the game. Sometimes I don't even finish it completely just because I'm like, I've put like 50 hours into this game. I don't really see any point to go on further.
Yeah. I played a little bit of Pearl, I think, but I don't know. It's so antiquated that like I think you have to have some sort of nostalgic fondness for Pokemon to get into it at this point.
I was talking to NWR staffer Josh Max about like this thing of every like new area that you go into, you have to catch the first Pokemon you fight, and if like you don't catch that Pokemon, then you cannot catch another Pokemon in that area. and you just have to work with that team, which is kind of like the really
interesting
limitation, which is, I mean, it's like arbitrary, but I feel like I want to try that in a Pokemon game.
Go back to Pearl and Diamond.
Yeah, I would probably wipe out one of those, because with Soul Silver, I put way too much time into that game.
I kind of transferred all my Pearl Pokemon onto
I transferred
Black
a deal
White
over to.
That transfer process is actually kind of fun.
I don't think I've actually used it, because I basically got to the end of Black and White and was kind of burnt out, and I think that's when I got the 3DS stuff to review. So,
you know, what's interesting about that is that I was going to borrow my friend's DS to transfer the Pokemon, when all of a sudden I was like, oh fuck, the 3DS can act like another DS.
Oh yeah.
And then I put
that's
them right
excited,
next to each other.
From Four Swords on DSiWare, because it's free. I can just get another DSi and the 3DS, and then I instantly have two systems that I can play it on. And on that note, since we got back to Zelda, which we kept on doing this entire episode, let's wrap it up.
If I could real quick, I just wanted to say, did you guys, anyone not download the video channel? Because if you don't download it right away, it just shows up like Pokedex 3D as a present, like wanting you to download it. Yeah, that happened to me, because I didn't really have any interest. And then
it's not,
like
the channel, though. It's like an ad for it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, it's the present, and then you open it, and it's like, click here, and then you click it. It's like, well, you got to download it, so you click that, and then it shifts over to the shop. The shop loads, and then it goes to download it. And then I couldn't even download it because it was a system update, so I updated the system first. Yeah, it was
what a great present.
Great. Yeah.
You have to like work for it. That's like getting like a present that you have to like put together something.
Happy birthday, I just wasted half an hour of your time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like someone getting you a present but leaving it on
the and it turns out it's like a
you
VHS video. You don't want to watch that.
Well, no, it turns out it's a VCR and he had a video for you, but he's got to bring it by later.
Just leave your VCR turned off and I'll slip it in later.
Be nice. You,
right.
You won't know what movie
you
I brought.
VCR
you'll just have to
for
turn
about a
it
half
on
an
later.
Hour and it'll download. Yes.
Now we can end the podcast.
If you want to email us, do so at newscast@nintendoreport.com. We also have a Twitter feed that I guess people might update occasionally.
We're trying a little bit more.
NWR_newscast, is that it?
No underscore, just NWR
okay.
Newscast.
NWR Newscast. And you can follow us. You know what? Let's start saying our own Twitter things. I'm at Nron10. That's, you know, Nron10. No.
Not the evil corporation.
All right, I guess you guys have to say
Well,
your
I'm
Twitter
at ZMiller1902.
Mine's not public, but I'm DrewMG, and if you add me, there's a pretty good chance I'll allow you and add you back.
Yeah, he has to keep it private.
I do.
Oh man, that one thing about
shit,
the horse.
You just can't have
wow.
everybody seeing.
I figure like I have already done a bad enough job of like putting my name all over the internet for the better part of 15 years. Like I just don't need to make the problem any worse at this point.
Fair enough. Yeah, your fan
really
is a little off-putting. And then I'm at OK Soda. The letters OK and
okay.
Then Soda. Like the soft drink. Yeah, well, not OKAY, if there's any confusion.
All right, yeah, that's a newscast. And email us, because we might read it to start off the show like we did this week. So maybe.
Thanks, Kai Tim.
It's a good chance.
Yeah. See you guys next week.
Bye. See ya. For fuck's sake, Zach. That was Zach, right? Okay, thank
you. Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Well, you know, it might not have been my mouth. I've been eating cheese all night.
And he's not wearing any clothes.
All right, I'll press stop.